All right, each and every Wednesday at this time, we chop it up with our Texas Longhorns insider, Chip Brown from Horns 24/7 and Horns247.com. Our weekly conversations with Chip are brought to you by our great friends at Cover 3. C. Breezy, how we doing today, my man?
What's happening, fellas?
Hey, Chip, I never thought I'd hear basket weaving brought up again. You know, that was the one way back in the 80s and 90s, the word basket weaving. Classes.
Yeah.
It's back. I'm glad. I'm excited.
Sark, I would have taken those in the Boston. Same.
I wish they had them at BC. I would have taken them.
Oh, yeah. We're in the same age demographic. Yes. So I fully appreciated the basket weaving. The only way it could have been better was if you'd have said underwater basket weaving. But
yeah, there you go.
You know, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Everybody's, yeah. Everybody's got some shots for Ole Miss. Lane Kiffin's shooting at him from LSU. Sark, you know, let that one out in the interview with USA Today. And this is the month where those headlines get taken and run with because there's going on.
Yes, so, you know, Chip, I was telling BK, you know, when I first came to Texas – years ago, you know, the stuff that Lane Kiffin's spewing out there. I mean, I had kids that I would recruited at Reagan and places like they wouldn't even cross I-35, much less you're talking about a whole state of Mississippi. So people will recognize it. A lot of people, older people like ourselves, will understand that there were kids on the other side of I-35 that wouldn't cross over and come onto the campus of 40 acres. They were good athletes, good football players. They wouldn't come over. I couldn't get their parents to let them come across and go visit. I mean, really good players. And it was frustrating for me, you know, and it was crazy. So Lane Kiffin throwing that out, that's a pretty good shot right there now.
Yeah. I mean, here he is. That's the school that he just helped elevate to a college football playoff semifinal, really the pinnacle of Lane Kiffin's coaching career.
Yes.
Occurred last year. And whether it was because he didn't like the way that the school didn't let him finish the job or because he now knows that's a school I have to beat, he brings up the fact that while he was there, you know, he had to convince mothers and grandmothers of black athletes, you know, why they should let their son go to Ole Miss, which has, you know, all the history that Mississippi has and segregation. And that's a shot that he could have, you know, he could have been ambiguous. He could have been vague. He didn't have to go right there. And now if you thought that relationship was dead, it's dead. Yeah. And they play September 19th.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That game's going to be a night game. They already announced that. Oh. So, prayers up to Oxford Police Department for what's going to be happening for that LSU Ole Miss game early in the season. Well, Chip, that was kind of the quote that went the most viral from Steve Sarkisian in that USA Today article that was posted yesterday. But we'd love to get your thoughts, maybe your biggest takeaway. I mean, Sark talked about the college football playoff system and the lack of governance by the NCAA and NIL and academics. What kind of stood out the most to you from that bombshell article that was released yesterday?
Well, it really was his quote saying it's all exhausting, you know, because one thing that I think Steve Sarkisian has done really well is adapt and not complain. And, you know, he's made it like, hey, I want to make this a great experience for my players. I want, you know, it just, everything sounded right from what he has been saying up to this point. And then in this, you know, interview, he says, I try not to get consumed with how bad it is. And he was referring, you know, to college football's 5-year relationship with NIL and pay for play. And he said, quote, it just wears you out. And that's, you know, I think that's the concern of fan bases when they have a coach who they like and who appears to have the program moving in the right direction. How long can that coach stay in that role and not get burned out, because it is exhausting. It's never been harder to be a head coach in college football than it is right now, when you have every single year you have free agency and agents are constantly sniffing around and looking for better deals, and you're having to re-recruit guys. And, you know, there was two portal windows a year ago. Now it's down to one, but it's still, it's exhausting. And so, you know, I don't know what the answer is, because the coaches, the hierarchy in college football are all saying, we need Congress to, you know, create, you know, antitrust exemptions. And that's not going to be the answer. Because anytime you ask government to solve your problems, it doesn't usually end well. And so then it's, you know, how do you keep your energy up? How do you maintain your love, your passion for it? And that's why everyone's concerned about the NFL, because the NFL, they don't have to worry about it. There is, you know, a union and there's agreements and there's rules and a really structured schedule that coaches love. And so, you know, that was my takeaway, because that's been a concern. Yeah. How long can you keep going? How long can you, you know, keep your energy up for this when it's constantly pulling on you?
Yeah. I mean, it's about burning you out before your time. Chip, let me, the Sark Golden thing is, you know, there's a lot of coaches I know, I've been through with a lot of assistant coaches, and we're a kind of fraternity, and we've done things together as coaches. We've done not so good things together, not so great things, but a lot of great things. But for this guy to it, you know, I had just learned, BK told me this morning about this deal with Golden talking about, I hope Sark stays sober when you meet him or something. That is about as low as it gets. Now, to me, that's part of being an alcoholic. You put that on yourself. By the way, you put that on yourself. So if that comes out, you shouldn't be that upset. But as an outsider who's dealt with alcoholism, I don't know anything any lower. There's things that I know about coaches that I would never tell anybody. I would never tell people that I work with. I know things about guys that I've been with for years that are my good friends. And some of their secrets will always stay with. It's never coming out, no matter what. But for a guy to do that to somebody's parents for a kid, because you want that kid that bad, and you would actually say that about another guy, that's about as low as it gets. Out of all those basket weaving and all that other crap that just was said, that right there is some of the worst stuff I've ever heard, that you would actually do that for a player. And to smart family like that, to a family that's that smart.
Right. And here's the crazy thing. Steve Sarkisian wanted to bring Pete Golding to Texas as his defensive coordinator, but he had already taken Flood and Banks, and Nick Saban was like, no, you're going to have to look somewhere else. And that's, he had to pivot, and, you know, Jeff Banks helped him hire Pete Kwiatkowski, but it was initially going to be Golding, and Saban was only going to be okay with it if Saban could get Dan Lanning as his defensive coordinator at Alabama. Mm-hmm. And then Dan Lanning ended up getting a head coaching job, obviously, at Oregon. And so Saban was like, no. And so, you know, these guys are close. They know each other. Sark wanted to hire him. But, you know, when it gets into that recruiting game and Pete Golden's feeling the pressure, he's never been a head coach outside of those games he coached last year. And he's trying to maintain what he's got at Ole Miss. It gets personal. That's tough.
Yeah, it's crazy. Chip Brown of Horns247.com joining us here. Our weekly conversations with Chip, brought to you by our friends at Cover 3. Chip, I know you've talked about this before. I know you've been asked about this before, and I'm sure you'll talk about it again down the line. But is the solution for all of these problems that Steve Sarkisian has been talking about, breaking away from the NCAA. I know coaches want Congress and the government to get involved, but there's all sorts of speculation, and there has been for years, about the SEC and the Big Ten, or maybe the Power Four in general. It's kind of breaking off and doing their own thing and operating more like a professional sports league. Do you think that's on the table? And do you think maybe a lot of coaches are starting to favor a model like that?
Well, I could see it happening, but right now you've got differing voices. I mean, really, this thing's going to be driven by the SEC and the Big Ten, or as I like to call them, the ESPN conference and the Fox conference. And, you know, you've got differing voices coming from the commissioners. The, you know, first of all, they cannot agree on what kind of playoff structure they want to have going forward. You know, the Big Ten is suddenly in favor of 24. Greg Sankey is not. And I kind of agree with Greg Sankey, honestly. 16 was always the number that I thought was the sweet spot, because it's worked in the FCS forever. You know, get rid of one of the tomato can non-conference games, go back to an 11-game schedule, get rid of the conference championships, have a 16-team playoff, and lock in and go. Because part of the problem, BK, is what you just said. If we do have a breakaway, if it's just the SEC, or if it's the SEC in the Big Ten, or if it's the SEC and, you know, the Big 12 and, you know, ACC, you don't want to have a playoff, you know, a 24-team playoff if you're only going to have 30 or, you know, 40 programs in what you're calling Super League. Yeah. Graduate to that. And the 24-team playoff does, you know, the TV partners have already said, there's going to be a bunch of games early on that are not attractive games. We're not going to bid on those games, you know? And what are we doing? I mean, 16, you're going to have a captive audience. We know there's a captive audience for 12, because we've seen that. But, you know, of course the coaches want a 24-team playoff. That's more access, that they can say, hey, I made the playoff, you can't fire me. And, you know, I'm talking to some other presidents in schools, in other conferences, and, you know, they feel like maybe the SEC is trying to fight for 16, or, you know, to keep it lower so that the SEC maintains its preeminence and has the, you know, preponderance of teams in that playoff with a better chance to, you know, keep their brand as big as possible. I don't know that it's that. I think it's really more about what is college football going to look like in 5 years in terms of who the haves are, who the have-nots are, because there's so much discord right now in terms of how everything is being managed that it doesn't feel like there's a group ready to break away. Now, that can change on a heartbeat, as we know. We've seen these deals come together, you know, when you least expect it. So I'm not ruling anything out. I mean, college football is a very, very fluid situation right now.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Chip Brown, Horns247.com, joining us here. One more football question, Chip. Then I want to get to your thoughts on Texas softball, who opens up NCAA tournament play on Friday. I know you've done a great job covering them at Horns247.com. But I'll kind of give you the floor here. I know it's May. There's not a ton of storylines out there with Longhorn football outside of the world of recruiting. But what's a storyline coming out of the spring, or maybe something that you're already thinking about heading into summer workouts and fall camp? What's top of mind for you, and something that's important with where the Longhorns are right now on May 13th?
Well, I think, you know, not to sound cliche, but obviously the offensive line is going to need to come together quickly. And, you know, Lawrence Seymour's not on campus. Paris Patterson, the transfer from SMU, is not on campus yet. That needs to come together quickly. Depth on the offensive line needs to come together quickly, because I think they have the weapons to be an explosive offense, probably the best offense we've seen from Steve Sarkisian in his, you know, going into his sixth season. When you have Arch Manning and you have the receivers that Texas has and the running backs, like I love Raleigh Brown. I love his mentality. He's a fighter. It's like every run he makes, he's desperate to, it's like he's trying to survive. His life depends on it. I mean, that's how much, go watch his highlights on YouTube from his time at Arizona State. The guy is so much fun to watch. He's got great wiggle. And I think they've got tight ends that can hit you with different types of tight ends. And so I think this offense has a chance to be the best that we've seen under Steve Sarkisian. And then, you know, defensively, I'm really eager to see what emerges in the secondary. You know, I know they love Cade Phillips. I love Cade Phillips. I'm eager to see who else, you know, is it Kobe Black? Is it Warren Roberson? Because Will Muschamp has a very demanding style. He needs you to play man. He needs you to be a physical corner. Okay, well, Warren Roberson's a physical corner. Kobe Black, 6'2", 200 pounds. They brought in Bo Masco. But, you know, Samari Matthews, that kid looks like he's going to ascend quickly. And the fact that Mark Orfe likes his temperament, compared his temperament to Cade Phillips as a guy who, okay, you may beat him for a touchdown, but he's going to be eager for you to come back to him because he's going to bait you. He's going to take the ball. You know, he's that kind of guy. Like, okay, you got me. Come back at me. He's not going to hang his head. He's not going to lose confidence. He's going to, you know, rise to the challenge and continue the fight. And so, you know, some of these guys, we're just not going to know until the lights come on, until the games start. But I do think that there are some exciting, you know, young, obviously Jermaine Bishop Jr., guy's electric, probably the closest thing to Travis Hunter coming out of high school since Travis Hunter, you know, as a defensive back at Willis and then as a receiver. Obviously, he's playing receiver at Texas. And where does he fit in?
How long will it take to incorporate him? Will we see him in game four, or is it immediately in game one? He's got a certain amount of plays that they want to let loose. I hope it's immediately. That offense needs to get cranking from the start. He doesn't need to all of a sudden after the Ohio State start playing then. He needs to be playing in the first game and things for him to do immediately, I believe.
Yeah. And I think Sark is no nonsense about this season coming up. If he feels like Jermaine Bishop has total command of the offense, understands the concepts, which I think he does because he's that kind of guy. We saw him get open. I know it's that open practice, but he got open against zone coverage. He got open, you know, on third down right between two defenders and made the catch. And that's from what I'm hearing. That was a regular thing throughout spring ball. So, you know, you've got Emmett Mosley the fifth, you've got Daylon McCutcheon, and you've got Jermaine Bishop as slot receivers. You know, you're not going to mess with Cam Coleman outside. You're not going to mess with Ryan Wingo outside unless Wingo gives you a reason to mess with that. And even then, I'm telling you, Sterling Burkhalter is a guy that Sarkisian already trusts, who is that big, fast, long catch radius guy. So there's depth there. Could we see, let's say Wingo has a great year because the pressure's off, Cam Coleman has a great year, could we see three guys rotate at the slot? I mean, if Sark trusts you, he will play you. And that's, we know he trusts Mosley. We know he trusts McCutcheon. Does he trust Jermaine Bishop unequivocally right now? I think we could see that. I think we could see a rotation of guys at the slot.
That'll be fascinating for sure. Chip Brown, Horns247.com, joining us here on Bucky and BK. Our weekly chats with Chip, brought to you by our great friends at Cover 3, the best sports bar in town. Chip, a little Longhorn softball conversation. You know, it was a bit of an up-and-down regular year for Mike White's squad coming off the defending national championship, but you go to the SEC tournament in Lexington, the Longhorns win three games in 3 days. They take home the SEC tournament title. It feels like they're playing their best ball at the right time of the year. Do you think this squad has enough to go back-to-back as national champs?
Yeah, how about that? They're 8-9 in their last 17 going into the SEC tournament. And Mike White was very candid in saying, we need to win the first game to secure a top 8 seed. Like, that was the goal. And then, you know, Tegan Kavan, 9 strikeouts against Ole Miss. Leanne Good, her bat comes alive. You know, Vivi Martinez, Caden Henry's been good all year. You know, Reese Atwood has been off. I mean, she's second team all SEC after being, you know, a national player of the year candidate the last 2 years. And it's like they recharged and plugged back into that postseason mojo that they found last year. And if you'll remember last year, they had a kind of a shaky April. They were 8-8. And then they got their doors blown off by A&M. They got run ruled in the semifinals of the SEC tournament. And you're like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Things are looking a little shaky here. And Mike White starts Tegan Kavan in all 3 games. And she's better in game 3 than she was in the first 2. And this is going to be interesting because he does trust Citlali Gutierrez, who's the senior, who's pitched well. They all have pitched well. Cambria Salmon's pitched well. You know, Hannah Wells, the freshman, has pitched well. Brenly Gonzalez has been okay. So, you know, but he trusts Tegan Kavan because her rise ball is ridiculous. I mean, she can, you know, raise it to different levels. She can move it side to side. And when her changeup is on and her drop ball's on, she's elite. And Mike knows that. Tegan knows that. It'll be interesting to see how they pitch it here in the regional, you know, against Wagner. You've got Baylor and Wisconsin on the other side of the bracket, and they beat Baylor twice badly. Mm-hmm. Wisconsin is the 2 seed in the regional. But you know, does he kind of pitch the other, does he let, you know, Citlali pitch against Wagner and then, you know, not use Tegan as much? I don't know, because he said to me on Monday, sometimes when you're tired, you pitch better because you let the ball do the work for you instead of overthinking. And this is going to be interesting because, look, they have the talent. We know they have the talent. Different players have slumped throughout this season at different times. Sometimes it was all at once. You know, Kaya Altmaier comes in, she's playing left field. She loses her mojo at the plate. They've been rotating players through left field. You know, it was Elisa Sneed, the freshman there at the end, and she's hungry. And, you know, it's fascinating. I mean, Mike White's been trying to push the right buttons here, and it sure looked like he pushed the right buttons in that SEC tournament. And look, the draw opened up. The draw opened up. Tennessee's the number 1 ERA team in the nation. And that looked like a bad matchup for Texas. And then they lose to Ole Miss. And then OU's supposed to be sitting there. OU, the biggest, baddest offense in the nation. They get up 5-0 to Georgia and then give up 10 unanswered runs. So Texas is playing Georgia, not OU. In that game 3, Alabama is legit. Obviously, they're the, you know, they're right there at the top of the seedings nationally. Yeah. And Tegan Kavan's unhittable. So this is going to be fascinating because I don't know that they beat all the best teams to get that SEC tournament championship, but they won it. No one's going to remember anything other than that.
Nope. All right.
Control what you can control. And those other teams lost. They were scared of Texas, Chip. They were scared to play Texas. Great stuff as always, my friend. Really appreciate the time. Quick plug, horns247.com. What you got going on over there?
Yeah, head on over to horns247.com. Become an annual member. I always say become an annual member so you get the max benefits. You get VIP access to all the team sites on the preeminent 24/7 sports network. So if you want to read up on what Ohio State's doing, LSU, all of it, become an annual member, and you also, you know, get a year subscription to Paramount Plus. Check out those UFC fights. You don't have to pay for the pay-per-views, all that. Sweet deal. Come on over.
Sweet deal. Chip Brown, Horns247.com, our Longhorns insider, joining us each and every Wednesday on Bucky and BK. Appreciate the time, CB. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, hey, Chip.
Appreciate you, fellas. Stay safe, sir, and keep the faith.
Thank you. Amen.
There he goes. Horns247.com, our weekly conversations with Chip Brown, brought to you by our friends at Cover 3, the best sports bar in town, right there on Anderson Lane, just east of Mopac. They've got all the TVs. They've got great food, too. Typically, you think of a sports bar, you think, oh, the food's going to suck, but I'll go because they've got the games on. No. Elevated menu at Cover 3. The Sean Adams prime rib sandwich is fantastic. The brick chicken mac and cheese is ridiculous. They've got a great weekend brunch as well. Of course, the great drinks, the happy hour specials, and fantastic people working there each and every day. I love Cover 3. One of my favorite places to go to watch a game. Check it out yourselves. Again, right there on Anderson Lane, it's Cover 3, Dining Spirits Sports. All right, we're about to chop it up with Chris Phillips of SEC Unfiltered. We're going from guest to guest here. But before we get Chris's thoughts on some of the biggest storylines around the Southeastern Conference, how about another round of sponsor shout-outs, Buck?
Let's get our friends over at Sue Patrick, 50 years of giving you great Longhorn apparel. And they've got Sue Patrick offers free shipping on online orders, $59 or more, free curbside pickup. Plenty of parking at 5222 Burnett Road, folks. Chili Cat headquarters, of course. Love the folks over there. They've got all the ladies' gear out for spring and summer right now. They've got shoes. They've got those sneakers. Love the Longhorn sneakers that we saw at Sue Patrick last week. That was fantastic. Yeah. And Jay and them been doing it since 1975, folks. You want those online orders, go to SuePatrick.com, please.
Yes, indeed. Free shipping on those online orders over $59. Speaking of great deals, how about 20% off from our friends at Early Bird CBD?
Got to have that, BK. I've been doing a lot of bending over, a lot of lifting, picking up Tito's boxes and not bending my legs the right way. So I've got a little bit of pain in my relaxed back chair. But you know what I need? I need a couple Early Birds right there for sure. That is no doubt about that.
They've got the strawberry gummies. They've got the watermelon gummies.
I got some of those drops.
They also have the lemon gummies, and they've got the drops as well. The newest Early Bird CBD product. These are so easy to use. I mean, they're all easy to use. With the gummies, you just eat one. Okay, boom. There you go. The drops, you just drop a couple of these into whatever you're drinking. Your coffee, your sparkling water, your tonic water, your ranch water, maybe your regular
water. Oh, your ranch water. You know me, I like ranch water.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're not allowed to drink ranch water.
Straight from the ranch, right?
Yeah, it's straight from the tequila ranch, my friend.
Oh, my God.
The drops, these things are fantastic. Early Bird is a local Austin company. They make products designed to make you feel good. All of their products are formulated with CBD, of course. It's in the name, but also with a micro dose of THC as well. So unlike the other CBD things that maybe you've tried in the past and you're like, what? Why do people talk about this stuff so much? I don't feel anything. What's the point? You're actually going to feel the effects of the Early Bird CBD. You want to take the edge off. You want to get a good night's sleep. You want to just enjoy a movie or a TV show that you're watching. Maybe you want to relieve a little bit of pain, whatever your reasoning. We love Early Bird CBD. We think y'all will too. Again, use the promo code Bucky at earlybirdcbd.com. You are going to get 20% off your first order.
Love the lady in the parking lot attendant at the time I got the car lost up in Dallas said, hey, listen, you keep the cooler. You give me the ranch water. That cooler that's filled with ranch water. She goes, you don't need that. You don't drink. I said, yeah, but I need some water. I'm thirsty out here walking up and down the parking lot looking for my car. She goes, you're not going to quench your thirst with this ranch water. I'm like, it says right there. It says water right from the ranch, lady. She goes, no, you keep the cooler. Take all of that out and give it to me. I'll know what to do with it.
That woman may have saved your life there.
Or got me back. I would have been back on track. I wouldn't have been a quitter. I wouldn't have been a quitter anymore.
Right. Well, you would have quit quitting, which is even worse, right?
That's exactly right.
You would have quit being sober.
You don't know how close I was, BK. I didn't understand. You know, it just said it right there. I didn't have the labels. I'm thinking I truly got something that's something unique to the state of Texas or wherever this water came from. It says ranch water. And I'm like, I told the lady, I said, yeah, well, I'm, 20 some years sober. That, that was a couple of years ago. I said, I'm 20 some years sober. I don't drink alcohol. She goes, well, then you can't drink the ranch water. And then I'm getting into an argument about, well, why can't I? So he's giving me the can and pointing to this stuff on the can. I said, it says ranch water right there.
It says water.
It says water. And I said, okay, how about this? She goes, no, how about this? You give me all the contents inside of the cooler and you can walk around here with the cooler and find yourself some more ranch water, mister.
Next, you're going to tell me that Hidden Valley isn't a real ranch.
Yeah, I mean, why do you people, what's so hard about this?
I don't know. Well, it's easy for others to understand, not easy for you to understand, I guess.
No, come on. It sounds so simple.
That a ranch water has tequila in it, and it's probably
not. It doesn't even make any sense, does it?
It's just a nickname, you know?
Well, quit calling it water. Call it ranch tequila.
Ranch tequila. Don't have the same ring to it, you know?
Ranch vodka sounds good.
Yeah, well, there's no vodka in it, so I don't know.
Okay, I tell you, our next guest, I bet you he has never had any problems figuring out what ranch water is.
I guarantee you our next guest has had a few ranch waters during his time, and yeah, he doesn't get him confused with real water like you. Chris Phillips of SEC Unfiltered joining us here, normally with us on Tuesdays, but getting the Wednesday conversation with CP today. What's going on, man? How are you today?
Guys, what's going on? Doing well. Appreciate you having me. It's been a crazy week. Crazy to think we're on the last weekend of the baseball season, man. It flies by. I tell people every time we start the season to embrace every weekend, because before you know it, we're gonna blink and we're gonna be talking Hoover and postseason. And sure enough, we're embarking upon Hoover next week. So looking forward to it. Looking forward to the postseason in baseball. It's absolutely awesome. We get into regionals and supers and obviously Omaha. But yeah, it's been a crazy week too with the Kiffin stuff. I feel like we're back to like late November, where all the timeline was Lane Kiffin and where he was going. And that's all we've been kind of talking about all week long is Kiffin and Ole Miss. And even your boy Sark couldn't help himself. He got in on the conversation too. John Sumrall said, I can't help myself either. So it's been wild. The SEC spring meetings are going to be
brawls. They're going to be brawls in the lobby. Room.
So
they're going to throw down in the lobby some of these guys.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think Pete Golding would be willing too. That dude's kind of crazy. So I don't know. Like, listen, I'm a Sark guy, but I think I'm gonna take Pete Golding in a cage match. If I gotta be totally honest.
Well, we'll get your thoughts on some SEC baseball, but I think we got to open up with what you just talked about. We'll start with LSU and Lane Kiffin. I mean, your thoughts on the comments that he made, and is it just ridiculous at this point? Like, does Lane need to talk about Ole Miss as often as he is, or should he just move on and kind of focus on building things in Baton Rouge?
Yeah, Lane is the king of saying something stupid and then playing stupid to get away with it.
Yeah.
You know, like, he wants you to believe that someone as smart as him, which I'm fully of the belief, if you make $91 million to coach football, you're not a dumb person. You don't get to where – you know, there was probably some nepotism involved in his career path and his career arc, and obviously with his family ties. But you don't get the opportunities that he has gotten and done what he's done if you are a stupid person. So I think everything Lane Kiffin does is very, very calculated. And I think for whatever reason, right, wrong, or indifferent, he feels as if he was slighted by Ole Miss. He feels jaded. He comes off as the spiteful ex, right? Maybe he's still upset and holds a grudge. They wouldn't let him coach in the playoff, even though we all realize why that's a crazy idea, and they could not let him do that. Maybe he has created – Lane Kiffin comes off as a guy to me that creates his own lies, and he tells them to himself over and over so many times that he believes them, you know? So I don't know. When it comes to the comments, though, yeah, like what did he think was going to happen when he says something of that nature? And then, you know, you got LSU and Ole Miss fans, and it's very entertaining going back and forth on social media. Here's the reality, and then this goes for any fan base. Fans short for fanatic, right? And this goes for any coach. It's why it's so difficult if you run an entity that centers around one team like you guys do with Texas, or like I have a friend that runs one with LSU, or I've got buddies that runs one with Ole Miss, all across the SEC. This is the challenge, because you can't be critical of the guy while he's at your school and is in good graces, because he's the guy until he isn't. Fans will paint whatever picture they have to put their guy in a positive light. They will spin anything. That's why you can't have a logical conversation right now with an LSU fan about Lane Kiffin. You can't. He could do anything. He could say anything, and they're going to spin it positively. To be fair, Ole Miss fans were the same way when he was in Oxford and when he was winning games. So that's why I kind of take both sides of the grain of salt. It's like I get the position that you all are coming from. But the bottom line is this. Lane Kiffin's a hell of a football coach. He is also a mess off the field, unless you knew what they were getting when they hired him. And, you know, if he wins a bunch of games and he wins a national title, all will be overlooked. If he doesn't, he will go down in history as an overpaid loudmouth. That's all he will be, you know. Steve Spurrier, not just because of the quips.
Right.
It's because he won. He won while talking crap about your team. If he was a coach that averaged a 500 season or averaged just missing out on the championship or whatever, he's an average coach who, like I mentioned, just talked too much. So that's kind of where we sit with Lane. It's creating – it's so much more than a football game that's going to take place in Oxford. To a point, guys, where I'll be totally honest, I don't think I want to go. Like, yeah. From the standpoint of this game is so hyped up, I'm seeing, like, hotels are going for, like, $6,000 a night in Oxford or something crazy. God knows what the tickets are going to be. And then you just talk about the sheer chaos and vitriol and hostility in that city and in that stadium. It's going to be must-see TV, but it may be a TV product for me.
Yeah, you may not want to be live and in person there. It may be dangerous.
Yeah. I don't know if I want to be an incubator for the madness between LSU and Ole Miss fans. So anyways, long story short, it's been interesting kind of the aftermath with some others kind of getting in on the action. It feels like this is take a shot at Ole Miss week. Yeah. You know, first, I know we're going to get to it, I'm sure, but first the Muschamp comments, which were, hey, what's this all about? And then Steve Sarkisian, it's like, oh, this is what this is all about. How dare he take a shot at the basket weaving folks? So that's just, hey, yeah, I mean,
how many schools in the SEC have that basket weaving? Is it more than just
apparently Florida? Because John Summerall got in and said, defended his basket weaving people, but it's almost like the coaches are a little antsy this week, but yeah, it's been wild.
Yeah, I just think the personal shots are really way beyond what you really, really need to do. I know what people do in recruiting. I know how many chances they're willing to do anything to get certain players. But some of these personal shots in a career of – it's hard to be a coach at that level, and it's hard. You do a lot to get through the ranks and to be in there, whether it's an assistant or a head coach, to take shots at guys for some of the things that – like I told BK, there are things that I know about coaches. I hope they never get out about me, because I would never let it out about them, no matter who I was around and no matter what. And I wouldn't do anything for a kid. I don't care what kid it was, to say something bad about the guys that I've been around and I coach with. Just I wouldn't do it. And I don't understand how it gets to that point.
Yeah, I think Lane knew what he was doing. To say anything otherwise is just foolish.
So yes. Listen,
you're an LSU fan. You got your guy. Congratulations. You knew what you got when you hired him, and it'll all come down to wins and losses for him.
And he must have loved everything about Ole Miss when he was there. All these things he's saying about the grandparents didn't want their kids. I'm pretty sure he didn't. I'm pretty sure that never really came up in his staff meetings with his guys. I'm pretty sure that he fought that hard for the years he was there and brought them to some prominence. I mean, I bet you he wasn't saying that then.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where if you knew this culture was so bad, out of control, why were you not doing things actively to change it? Because last year's media days, all he did was praise Oxford and how great it is, and I needed Oxford more than Oxford needed me. What a saga, the Kiffin thing with the documentary that comes out last football season and painting him in this super positive light. And then he is – what I don't understand with Lane Kiffin is I don't – get, we talked about it, of why he, you know, potentially could stay or should stay at Ole Miss. I mean, he's the greatest coach there in school history. He did things there that had never been done before. He had the greatest team in school history last season. I just don't get why he's so hell-bent on completely destroying his legacy.
Yeah.
I don't understand that. Yeah. You can't tell me he doesn't care. I think that's look at the way he's acting. He very obviously cares what people think about him. He's all over Twitter every day. You know, let them, the whole let them thing. I just hard to understand the brain of Lane Kiffin.
That's for sure. That is for sure. Chris Phillips of SEC Unfiltered joining us here. You know, one of the games that Texas fans don't talk about a lot is the trip to Missouri in early November. I mean, the Longhorns have such a fascinating schedule, so many rivals and so many big meetings. And I feel like Mizzou kind of is an afterthought for a lot of teams in the SEC. But obviously, they were in the news earlier this week for the worst possible reason. Their star running back, Ahmad Hardy, who led the SEC in rushing last year, was shot while attending a concert in his home state of Mississippi, ironically enough. Your thoughts on that situation? And I know it's kind of impossible to predict right now, Chris, but how much of an impact could that make on Mizzou's 2026 season if Ahmad Hardy is just unable to go because of this?
Yeah, BK, it's a very unfortunate situation. Obviously, dude led the SEC in rushing a season ago, and I think certainly was one of those guys, one of the top two or three that you looked at the running back position in the SEC. Kawan Lacy at Ole Miss and Jaden Ball at Florida were kind of your top ball carriers coming back. Yes, I mean, what we don't know is what we don't know. Thankfully, he's out of the hospital, and they said he's reporting back to campus and is beginning the rehab process. So, again, like what happened, what he's even rehabbing, what it all looks like, we just don't know what the timetable is. If he's out, though, it'd be a massive, massive blow to Missouri's 2026 season. I mean, there's just no take the best player off anybody's roster. Yeah. Essentially, that's what you're talking about. So he's the heart and soul of their offense. You know, the passing game struggled for them mightily a season ago. Now, will that be the case this season? They bring in Austin Simmons from Ole Miss. I think they should be better throwing the football, but he was what the offense ran through. So if you don't have him, and I believe Jamal Roberts is back, who was sort of the Robin to his Batman a season ago, he is a quality back, and I think we'll have a really good year, but he's certainly not Ahmad Hardy. So, yeah, you pray for a speedy recovery. Hopefully he's back by the time the start of, you know, optimistically fall camp, certainly by game one, because he is a really fun player to watch and, yeah, one of the best players in the SEC, no doubt. So, yeah, I mean, just really unfortunate situation. Yeah. And, yeah, if he's out from Mizzou, that I think that definitely lowers their ceiling quite a bit.
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Chris Phillips joining us here. All right, CP, a little SEC baseball conversation. You've been high on Texas all year long. And look, the Longhorns are tied for second in the SEC. Obviously, Georgia already wrapped up the conference championship. We know that. But Texas this past weekend dropped 2 of 3 at Tennessee. They've had some struggles, especially on the road in the last month or so. I guess kind of your thoughts on the Longhorns right now going into the final week of the regular season. Do you still feel like this is a team that's good enough to make a legitimate run in a national championship this summer?
Yeah, they're definitely good enough, and I think they should probably still be one of the favorites to make it to Omaha. Postseason draws are fascinating, so that's what makes that selection Monday, admittedly, is one of my favorite days of the sports year, when we get to find out who's going to what regional and what the bracket looks like, and it really paints the postseason picture for us. I think what's fascinating about Texas, and yeah, you dropped 2 of 3 at Tennessee. Certainly that was one that, you know, I felt a little weird about just because it's on the road in the SEC. Tennessee is a quality club. You never know what can happen. And I did not expect them to lose 2 of 3, but, you know, I wasn't totally, totally shocked. But I think what's fascinating about Texas is that it's kind of like the stock has started to cool off a little bit, similar to last year. It's not the same, right? It's obviously last year the Jared Curtis injury was, you know, kind of torpedoed, I think, the hopes of making it to Omaha or making a deep run and lowered the ceiling significantly. But, you know, I know Schloss has mentioned they're pretty banged up right now, but it's you almost wonder with Texas, did they peak early in the season? If you believe in the hot, cold, hot theory, and I'm not saying that Texas is like ice cold or anything, but I think what the hope has to be is that as we get into postseason play, Texas comes back on the upswing and maybe looks a little bit more like they did earlier in the season. So, listen, Texas is still one of the favorites, in my opinion, to go to Omaha. They're probably still one of the favorites to win the national championship. And if we had to make a short list right now, it's UCLA, Georgia. I mean, really, that's the top of the rankings. UCLA, Georgia Tech. I think you could throw UNC in there. Georgia, Texas and Auburn probably next in line, you know. So I think certainly they are one of the favorites to win it all. But you never want to be trending negatively going into postseason play. But the good news for Texas is this. You got to get right series this weekend against Mizzou at home. So you should be able to win three games, get positive momentum back on your side. Hoover's Hoover. I don't really look at, like, you need to make a deep run into Hoover to keep momentum going. It's, again, Hoover's kind of its own one-off thing. But, yeah, take care of your business this weekend. Win all three. You know, maybe Ruger Riojas has a bounce-back start and can go deep in a game for you. Luke Harrison, I know, needs a bouncement start badly. Dylan Valantis, I'm not worried about in the slightest. So, you know, they need to get healthy, and they need to get on a roll again. And, I think Texas is certainly one of the favorites to make it to Omaha. It's just kind of all about what the draw is at this point.
Yeah, you sure would like for them to have been better on the road this year. Their road.
It's just tough to win on the road. I mean, it's, you know, it's, I think Texas learned that late last season when they went to Arkansas, got swept, and a lot of teams lose series on the road. I mean, it's what makes, like, what Auburn has done so incredible. They've won six great series, and three of the last four have come against top 10 opponents on the road. I mean, that's silly. That's just silly. So, yeah, I mean, here's the thing, though. The good news is this. If you're a Texas fan, I would look at it this way. Mission accomplished of the season, right? Take care of business against Mizzou. You are a top 8 national seed. You don't have to go on the road for a regional super round. You've done your job. You know what I mean? Like, sure, it hasn't been perfect, but it's the most difficult conference in all of college baseball, and one of the most difficult. Like, I think navigating an SEC schedule in college baseball is probably one of the most difficult things to do, period. It's just an absolute gauntlet. It's a week-by-week grind. You know, losing 2-3 on Rocky Top, for example, just can happen. But again, the good news is you have done well enough to where you secured that top 8 national seed. You know, I would say regular season-wise, mission accomplished. You have done everything you were supposed to do. As Texas learned last year, as great as it is, winning the regular season title isn't the end-all be-all, far from it. I think Texas would trade, and Georgia would trade, or anybody would trade, winning that trophy to get to the College World Series, right? Not to say you can't do both, but just to say, again, Texas still did their job, even though Georgia is your champion. So it's all in front of them, and they've laid the path where, again, they don't have to leave Austin.
That's true. Got to take care of this weekend.
Yeah.
That's the key. Texas 26-4 at home, just 8-8 in true road games this year.
Look at the road records, though. Most people are top. I mean, it's the nature of the beast. You know what I mean? Yeah. So
Texas 3-0 in neutral site games, which means they're going to win the SEC tournament and they're going to win the College World Series because they've never lost in a neutral game.
Yeah, Hoover's weird, man. I've seen teams go 2-2 back when it was double eliminations. I've seen teams not win a game there and then go win the College World Series. So, I mean, I don't – it's such a one-off thing where I think – like, the SEC tournament doesn't benefit a team like Texas. It benefits Missouri, Vanderbilt, South Carolina, LSU. If you're on the fringe of fighting for a host spot, it'll benefit Kentucky, who's trying to improve their seed line. But if you're Texas, like – if you could give Jim Schlossnagel truth serum, he'd probably tell you he'd rather just lose and get done and rest his team. he'd probably be like, we need the extra rest because he has said they're banged up. Like, we don't need to play 4 more games.
Right. Like,
let us get out of there, come back to Austin, heal up, get ready for the regional.
If he could just not go. Like, hey, we're opting out of the SEC tournament this year. I wonder if he'd do that.
Now we're taking it too far.
Not that much truth serum, I guess. Yeah. We're running out of that. Chris, great stuff as always, man. Well, next week we'll be talking to you previewing the SEC baseball tournament. And who knows what coach goes after what other coach next week. The SEC is the gift that keeps on giving for all of us, isn't it?
Yeah, it does, man. 24/7, 365. It never stops. So, yeah, excited for Hoover this time next week. We'll have the baseball rolling. I would assume, obviously, Texas won't play till Thursday or Friday. So Horns will have some time to rest. That'll be the good news. But it should be a lot of fun, man. SEC tournament's a good time.
Well, y'all be sure to follow Chris, SEC Unfiltered, on YouTube, wherever you get your podcast, social media, doing a tremendous job covering the entire conference. Appreciate you, brother. We'll talk next week.
Thank you, Chris.
Hey, appreciate y'all. You're all the best.
Now you too. There he goes. Chris Phillips. Follow him. Follow them. SEC Unfiltered. Again, all things Southeastern Conference. And yeah, baseball obviously getting to the good stuff. And you know, we didn't think football was anywhere close to the good stuff, but we're turning into TMZ here.
Wow. These guys want to get after each other. Man, like you said, they're going to have meetings where all the coaches get together. That's going to be a zoo.
It'll be
fun. We need media day. We just need to be there for the coaches' meetings. We need to go hang out with – just hang around the hotel and see who's fighting down in the lobby.
I think it's next week in Destin. Should we book some flights?
That's got to be fun. That'll be fun. Guys trying to throw sand in each other's face at the beach.
Yeah, that's –
Are you going to be assured Kiffin will be there in his grape smuggler?
It's I think May 26th is when the SEC spring meetings get going. So what is that? Wow. 2 weeks where that will happen. Yeah, you know, flights are cheap these days. We'll book one and get there pretty easily, right? It'll be fun.
I'd like to be at that hotel talking to people.
Yeah, no, I don't even want to go covered. I just want to go like post up at the bar every night and just see what kind of drama unfolds there.
Jeez,
that's going to be the entertainment capital of the world here later this month. All right, quick round of sponsor shout-outs. We'll kind of replace the BBK news with a little PGA Championship talk. Want to let y'all hear from Scottie Scheffler and Jordan Spieth, and we'll get the Bucks pick on who's going to win the second major of the golf year. But real quick, Buck, Woods Comfort Systems.
No doubt about it. Good. 70 years in Central Texas, folks. They do heating. They do air conditioning. If that air conditioning system doesn't work right, you've got to call in their technicians because it's going to be a hot one this week, especially at the end of the week and towards the weekend. You're going to have a hot one in the low 90s. So you want your air conditioning system to work properly, you can count on it at Woods Comfort Systems. Now, they also do plumbing now, indoor and outdoor plumbing. And, folks, nobody does it better than Woods Comfort Systems.
WoodsComfortSystems.com, 512-842-5066. Shout out to McCall Custom Homes as well. Nobody does it better when it comes to renovating, remodeling, or building homes here in Central Texas than our friends at McCall Custom Homes ATX. McCallCustomHomesATX.com. That's the website. You can call or text our buddy Mike McCall directly, 512-633-9580. Kitchen remodels, bathroom renovations, you want to add some new life to your outdoor space, anything to make your home a more enjoyable place to live. You spend more time there than anywhere else. After all, don't you want to enjoy it? McCall Custom Homes can make it happen for you. Free estimates for Bucky and BK listeners, and they are A-plus rated by the BBB. Tons of five-star reviews online. They do the highest quality work. Of course, they're fully licensed and insured. They got you covered. Again, McCall Custom Homes, ATX.com for more info. And a quick shout out to Dr. Chad and his great team at Sleep Cycle Center. If you've got sleeping problems, you want those to go away forever. More than 22 million Americans have undiagnosed sleep apnea. It is a serious problem that could lead to even more serious problems. NFL Hall of Famer Reggie White lost his life because of undiagnosed sleep apnea. Dr. Chad himself lost his own father to undiagnosed sleep apnea. He doesn't want you to have to deal with anything close to that. It's not just CPAP. They've got night guards. They've got all sorts of things to make your snoring go away and to just make your sleeping problems disappear forever. Free consultations if you're listeners of this show, which obviously you are, and you get $100 off an at-home sleep study if you mention Bucky and BK as well. SleepCycleCenters.com for more info. All right, Buck, for the BBK news here to wrap up a Wednesday show, let's talk a little golf. The PGA Championship.
Yes, sir.
It's going tomorrow at Aronimink Golf Club in Pennsylvania. You familiar?
Not, I've heard of it, but I've never played it. No.
We got to get
you know, when I was born in Philly, I just stayed in South Philly, you know. I wasn't allowed to get out there to Aronimink. I couldn't go that far. I had to stay downtown.
Where is Newtown?
I was on the tough streets, BK. I lived in the tough streets.
Is Newtown Square?
At least a tough hospital.
Your hospital was tough? What do you mean?
Yeah. South Philly.
You remember like being born and you remember what you saw coming out of the womb? Like, man, this is tough here.
I saw Joel Embiid. He was coming in the hospital when I was going out because he was hurt.
That math isn't quite mathing.
That's not going to work, is it?
I think Joel Embiid is like around my age. I don't think he's
You're thinking maybe I saw Al Greer or Dr. J or somebody.
Maybe that works too. Well, hey, good for you for getting out of that hospital, man. A lot of kids don't make it out of that hospital.
That's true. Now you're talking.
I'm proud of you. Well done there, sir. Aronimink Golf Club. It's the first time the PGA Championship has been there since 1962. Gary Player won it 64 years ago at Aronimink, and he was one of two golfers to finish under par in that tournament. So a long time ago, the golfers have gotten better, but maybe we see some lower scores or higher scores, depending on how you want to use it. You know what I mean? Big storylines.
I think Scotty's going to make his return to first place instead of his second place. You know, he'll be battling with Rosie, though.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest storyline is can Scotty repeat? I mean, he won the PGA Championship last year. And, of course, as you mentioned, he's finished runner-up in his last three starts. And does he finally, I don't want to say finally, get over the hump? The guy's won a lot in his career, but can he get over the hump and finish first instead of second?
I think he'll finish first. I think Rosie will be right there, too.
Okay. Scotty is plus 450. He has the best odds to win the PGA Championship. Here's a little bit of sound from the Lifetime Longhorn talking about the frustration of finishing in second place in three consecutive tournaments.
A bit of it's bittersweet just because finishing second in a golf tournament is not bad. But, I mean, especially in the way I did it in a couple of them. I mean, I was spotting guys so many strokes going into the weekend. Immediately the Masters. Didn't have a very good chance going to the weekend there. You look at Hilton Head, didn't have a very good chance going to the weekend there. And then, you know, Cadillac, I finished solo second, but really didn't really have that good of a chance, you know. So just different things. So overall, yeah, I'd say a little bit bittersweet. You know, you're playing good golf and you love to get some wins and finishing second hurts. But I think when you reflect and you're looking at things to work on, you're like, there's a lot less to clean up when you're finishing second than there is when you're finishing, you know, 30th.
You know, that sounds a lot different than what LeBron sounded like the other day. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just totally different. In other words, if you just read between the lines, finishing second sucks. That's what he's saying. You know, oh, yeah, $2.2 million or whatever it is for second. That's nice. He doesn't even say that's not that part of it's nice. To me, all I got out of that was I hate finishing second. That's what I got out of him.
I know. Yeah, you've got LeBron and Joel Embiid who are like, yeah, we finished like eighth. Oh, that's great. Great season. No failure here. And you've got Scottie Scheffler who's taking home $2+ million every week. Like, no, that's not good enough. I don't want to be second. I need to win.
Just the tone of not coming in first, you know?
He's right. He's been right there and he's playing some great golf. And this, you know, this is the time last year where he started to turn it on and went on that historic streak. So there are some metrics that say Scottie Scheffler this year has been playing better than he was last year going to the second major on the golf calendar. We'll see if he can recreate that same magic at Aronimink. And by the way, Scottie and Justin Rose are playing together these first 2 days.
That's awesome.
It's also Matt Fitzpatrick. That's the threesome. They've got a late tee time tomorrow. I think like 2 o'clock, maybe 1 o'clock Central time. I may have seen 2 o'clock Eastern time. And then your other big storyline from a Longhorn perspective, and it's a big storyline everywhere. Can Jordan Spieth complete the career Grand Slam?
I don't know if he's in that great a shape for it. He's played better, but I just don't know if he's there yet.
As good as he's played, he hasn't finished in the top 10. Like he's been around. There's been times during tournaments where he's been high up on the leaderboard, but he's making cuts. He's doing all right, better than he has done in years past, but it's not like he's that close to winning right now.
Yeah, he needs to sound more like LeBron than Scottie Scheffler.
Well, here's,
you know, he's getting closer. I'm getting closer. I'm getting closer because he's been so far out of it for so long now. For him, this would be a great run for him, but I don't think it's going to happen yet.
I'm with you. Here's Jordan Spieth. He was asked about, you know, once again, trying to complete the career Grand Slam.
Yeah, this tournament's always highlighted. If I could win one more tournament in my life, you know, it would obviously be this one for that reason. But the easiest way to do that is to not try to, in a weird way, you know. Just go out and get ready for the first hole, get a good game plan in and attack it the way it needs to be attacked. And my game's, you know, been getting better and better, and it's plenty good enough to have a chance to win. So it's just about working my way into contention. I was able to do that a couple weeks ago. That was being the last couple groups on the weekend was the first time this season. So I'm glad I was there. And, you know, hopefully I can do that this week and do better.
Yeah, I mean, that guy's a good golfer. That guy needs to lean into some of this adversity. Just lean into it a little bit instead of just letting it happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Jordan Spieth is plus 6,600 to win. Wow. Not great odds. He's actually paired up with Rory and John Rahm. About Rory and Rahm together.
Yeah, that's great. He better play. Spieth better be on top of his game with those two dudes.
Yeah, no doubt. Scotty, the favorite, plus 450. Rory, the Masters champ, right behind him at plus 850. Cam Young, John Rahm, Bryson DeChambeau, and Xander Schauffele follow them on the
outside. Cam Young may be playing better than anybody right now.
Who's your pick? You said you're going with Scotty?
I'm going with Scotty. I'm going to use Scotty, Justin Rose, and Cam Young.
Yeah, Cam Young, like you said, he has been red hot. All right. I'll go. Did I get three, I guess?
Get three. Take three.
I'll try to. I'm going to go with Scotty. I'd have to pick him. I'll go with two different guys. I'll go with Matt Fitzpatrick. And I'm trying to find a long shot here.
Why don't you take his brother? Go ahead and take Alex. He's been playing. He's been hot lately, too.
You know what? Give me. I have no idea if this guy's playing well, but give me Victor Hovland at plus 5,000. He's not 5, playing all that
well, but that's okay.
Well, screw it.
He's been a champion.
He can have it. All right, we're out of time. Real quick, happy birthday to the legendary Stevie Wonder.
Wow, how old is Stevie Wonder?
76.
Okay. No longer little Stevie Wonder, huh?
No, fake blind Stevie Wonder.
Fake blind Stevie Wonder.
He is my favorite musical artist of all time. Also, a happy birthday to Hootie, Darius Rucker, 60.
There you go.
Today. Figured you'd get a kick out of that one, sir.
Love his country music.
Yes, indeed. And then a few other birthdays. That's enough. We're out of time. We're getting out of here.
All right, buddy.
All right. That will do it for a Wednesday show. No Buck tomorrow. Roddy Rodriguez.
On Friday.
Filling in. But Buck will see you on Friday. I'll see y'all on Friday at the Mullet Open as well.
There you go.
And Rodney and I will be on for tomorrow's show. But thank y'all for tuning in. Thanks to Chip Brown and Chris Phillips for joining us today. Most importantly, thanks to you people for checking out the show. We appreciate y'all.
Thank y'all. Hook 'em.
Talk to y'all tomorrow. Hook 'em.